Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who handed over Jesus for you? As we heard the last 2 weeks, God the Father gave up Jesus for us all, arguably through one of Jesus' 12 disciples, Judas Iscariot, who went to, was paid by, and delivered over Jesus to the Jewish leaders. And tonight, at the end of the reading, we heard how, in turn, the Jewish leaders delivered over Jesus to Pilate, the governor. Various groups of Jewish leaders are mentioned in different places: the high priest, the chief priests, scribes, and elders. Together, they formed the council, the Sanhedrin, that oversaw religious and some civil matters in Judea. The Jewish leaders themselves later refer to them having delivered over Jesus to Pilate. And likewise, in speaking to Jesus, Pilate refers to the Jewish leaders having delivered over Jesus to him. On the day of the Lord's resurrection, in their conversation with an unrecognized Jesus, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus refer to the Jewish leaders having delivered up Jesus. And after Pentecost, in speaking in Solomon's portico, Peter tells the Jews that they delivered over Jesus and denied him in the presence of Pilate. That the Jewish leaders were involved is not surprising, for even before Jesus prophesied of his being handed over by an unnamed intermediate agent or agents, Jesus prophesied of the Jewish leaders as, in some sense, perhaps the ultimate agent of his passively expressed suffering and rejection. And later, Jesus prophesied of the Jewish leaders handing him over to the Gentiles. And in this context, Pilate the governor arguably is the first and most important of those Gentiles. After Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the Jewish leaders watched Jesus and sent spies who pretended to be sincere that they might catch Jesus in something that he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the emperor, or the governor, rather, the divinely inspired St. Luke uniquely reports. And as Agabus prophesied, the Jews at Jerusalem similarly delivered Paul into the hands of the Gentiles. In delivering over Jesus to Pilate, the Jewish leaders accused Jesus of doing evil, though Pilate at least thought that the Jewish leaders have delivered up Jesus out of envy, perhaps envy that fewer people were following the Jewish leaders and more people were following Jesus. Whatever the Jewish leaders' motivation, as was the case with Judas's motivation, we know that God the Father gave up Jesus for us all, for our trespasses. We are sinful by nature, and so we sin by thought, word, and deed, for which sinful nature and actual sin we deserve nothing but death here and now and torment in hell for eternity. As we sang in the office hymn, it is our sins for which the Lord must languish. Yea, all the wrath, the woe he doth inherit, that we do merit. As we prayed in tonight's psalm, our iniquities have gone over our head like a burden too heavy for us. But we confess our iniquity and are sorry for our sin. When enabled by the Holy Spirit, we are sorry for our sin, trust God to forgive our sin, and want to stop sinning, then God does forgive us. God forgives us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Like John the Baptizer, who was handed over before Jesus, so also Jesus suffered. But unlike John the Baptizer, Jesus was and is God in human flesh. And out of God's great mercy and love, Jesus' suffering was for our forgiveness, and so also for our life and salvation. As Jesus had prophesied, he suffered many things from and was rejected by the Jewish leaders. They condemned him to death. And arguably, because the Jewish leaders could not put anyone to death, they handed over Jesus to Pilate in order to be crucified. And after having been mocked, shamefully treated, spit on, and flogged, on the cross, Jesus died for the sins of the world, including your sins and my sins. Jesus died for us, in our place, the death that we deserved. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, in part showing that God the Father had accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. And so we trust God to forgive us, not because of what we have done, but in spite of what we have done. We trust God to forgive us because of what Jesus has done for us. We trust God to forgive us through his word in all of its forms. As God the Father handed over Jesus through such men as Judas and the Jewish leaders, so Jesus hands out the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins through men such as his apostles and their successors, pastors today. Those pastors read and preach God's word to groups such as this one, and they apply the gospel to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with the bread and wine that are Christ's body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. In all of these ways, God forgives sin and so gives life and salvation. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians and to us. In all of these ways, we confess both who we are as sinners and who God is as our merciful and gracious Lord. We do not deny, as Peter did in the courtyard of the high priest's house, but we confess, as Jesus did before the high priest. With our hearts, we believe and are justified, St. Paul writes to the Romans and to us. And with our mouths, we confess and are saved. So justified, saved, forgiven by God through his means of grace, we in turn forgive one another. When brothers and sisters in Christ sin against us, we are to go and tell them their fault between us and them alone. And then if they refuse to listen, with one or two others along as witnesses, and finally, to let the church handle it. Arguably, in that regard, Jesus says we are to work things out with our accuser quickly, lest we be handed over, which handing over, when it comes to an unrepentant lack of forgiveness or other sin, can include our being handed over to Satan for him to execute divine judgment, though that handing over is always with the goal of our repenting. When we repent, then we are forgiven. And already now, we can and do experience the peace and joy that comes with that forgiveness. As God works in us to love him and also love our neighbor. And so we pray to God the Father, as we will in our closing hymn, "Thou, my best and kindest friend, thou wilt love me to the end. Let me love thee more and more, always better than before." The last 2 weeks and this week, we considered God the Father, Judas, and the Jewish leaders as those who handed over Jesus for us. In the two midweek Lenten Vesper services still to come this year, we will consider two other answers to that thematic question, who handed over Jesus for you? May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit continue to bless our Lenten walk together to the glory of his holy name. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.